Welcome to Torah Tzimecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Shairitz, and today we'll be learning Yeshayahu, Perek Yud Zayin, Chapter 17. So we're still in the section of the Masa'ot, the oracles that Yeshayahu gives or speaks against the other nations. And we began with the oracle against Babylonia, then continued to Assyria. Last time we addressed Moab, and today Yeshayahu turns his attention to Aram. And Aram is referred to here as Damasek, which would be Damascus, and it actually is modern-day Damascus as well, because Aram was in the area of Syria, on the east side of the Jordan. Now, like with the other Masa'ot, Yeshayahu prophesies the downfall of Aram. But an interesting thing happens, because by the time we reach Pasuk Gimel, Yeshayahu is no longer only speaking about Aram, but he's also speaking about the northern kingdom of Israel. Remember that Yeshayahu is the prophet of the southern kingdom of Israel, of Jerusalem. But now he ties in the destiny of Aram and Israel. And he prophesies the downfall of both Aram and the northern kingdom. Now, why? What's the connection here? And it actually makes a lot of sense in light of the historical pieces that we've learned earlier in Yeshayahu. In Perek Zayin, Yeshayahu describes in great detail the alliance that the northern kingdom of Israel and Aram made against Assyria. So now their downfall actually will come together as well. And the description is one of destruction. And Yeshayahu, as is his way, uses agricultural metaphors, which will resonate with the people. Remember, we talked about Shirat HaKerem, the Song of the Vineyard. And here there's again this commonality using the metaphor to express the point in the language of the farmer. So in Pasuk Dalid, Yeshayahu describes the destruction of Aram and Israel with this agricultural metaphor. And he says, "V'haya ke'esof katsir kama." The destruction will be like the way that the reaper of the wheat, you know, grabs the stalks of wheat out of the ground. And here the wheat, of course, symbolizes Aram and Yisrael. So in one hand, he takes the wheat out of the ground, and then Vizar Uzar O Shibolim Yiktsor. And with his other hand, he rips the wheat apart. So he uses this metaphor of wheat and the way that wheat is ripped out of the ground with really no agency of its own to describe the destruction of Aram and Yisrael. But by the time he gets to the next Pasuk, Pasuk He, there's a bit of a different turn. And in order to understand this Pasuk, we need to just review for a minute a term that we're familiar with from the Torah, which is the term of olalot. And olalot is a form of tzedakah, agricultural tzedakah, that was given to the poor people of the time. Now, every farmer had to leave certain things in his field for the, you know, for the poor people, the aniyim, to come get. And one of the things that, one of the commandments that they had to leave is this commandment of olalot. And olalot are fruits that cling to a branch. So even after, let's say, the person who owns the vineyard or where the fruit is growing will take down a branch and shake out all the fruit, there still will be some fruit that clings to that branch. And that's called olalot. And in general, the owner of the farm is commanded to leave those there, because then the aniyim can enter his or her field and take those olalot. Here, we'll see this word olalot in the metaphor, because in the past pasuk, right, Yeshayahu prophesied that Aram and Yisrael will be ripped out of the ground like wheat or like produce that's growing. But now he continues, "V'nishar bo olalot kinokev zayit shnayim shlosha gargurim birosh amir." And he says, "And yet, while they will be destroyed, there will be a few of these olalot." These little, here in this case, he's talking about zayit, the olives, and there will be a few olives, 2, 3, 4, 5, that will be clinging to the branch of the amir, the very tall tree. And he goes on to say that these will remain, and this will be the remnant that is left. And once again, they will not be fully destroyed. And here, we've seen another theme emerges, one that we've seen throughout Yeshayahu, that while there is destruction, the destruction does not wipe out everything. So while the northern kingdom of Israel will be destroyed, there still will be these olalot, these little remnants that will remain, and ultimately we'll be able to rebuild. And we rebuild. And we've seen this numerous times, that even in Yeshayahu's destructive prophecies, he very often talks about the shar, the remnant that will remain and that will be able to regrow and regrow the nation and regrow the leadership. Now, what follows this destruction? So Yeshayahu discusses this in Psukim Zayin and Chet. And he says, "Bayom hahu yish eha adam al osehu ve'enav el kadosh Yisrael tirena." So at that point, once this destruction happens, on that day, Adam, the person, will turn back to his maker. He'll turn back to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and she'll say, "Oh, this is Kadosh Yisrael. This is the one who created me." And then he continues and says, "V'lo yish'eh el mizbechot ma'aseh yadav," and they won't turn anymore to the mizbeach that they created with their own hands. "V'asher asu etzbotav lo yir'en," they won't look to that which they created with their own hands. And while this certainly refers to the idolatry that they were using, this emphasis also on asher asu etzbotav, that which they created with their own hands, also highlights another theme that we keep seeing, which is the arrogance and the hubris, which is condemned throughout the Sefer by Yeshayahu, by Hashem. And at that point, after that day, that Yom Hahu, where there is that destruction, then they will turn back to Hashem and recognize that Hashem is their creator, and no longer will they worship the work of their own hands. Now, there's an interesting debate of Bayom Hahu, on this day. What day is that? When will this process happen, that there's a destruction and then following the destruction, there's a turn back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So one way to look at this, and I think the Radak goes along this line, is that this is actually talking about historical events. And Radak suggests that the whole process is referring to the recognition that will happen in the southern kingdom of Israel, in the kingdom of Yehuda. Because in the period of Ahaz, who's the king of Yehuda in around 730 BCE, he turned the people away from Hashem by allying with Assyria, by bringing idolatry into the land. But then, following the destruction of the northern kingdom in 722 by Assyria and the exile of the 10 tribes, his own son, Ahaz's son Chizkiyahu, brought the people back to Hashem. And perhaps this is the Yom Hahu that's referred to here, that follows the destruction of Aram and the northern kingdom of Israel. But perhaps there's not a specific Yom Hahu that's referred to in a sense of a historical day that occurred. But maybe this is saying that always after a destruction, there's an eye-opening, there's a universal turning back to Hashem during hard times. This reminds me of an old song by Journeys, the atheist convention in LA, and it describes a group of people attending an atheist convention, and all of a sudden the plane starts to, you know, crash, and all of a sudden everyone's crying out, you know, Shema Yisrael, or whatever, you know, whoever they're turning to, and underscoring the point that when things get difficult, after hard times, that will often bring people back to Hashem. So to review, we're talking about the Masa here, specifically the oracle about Aram and the northern kingdom of Israel. They will be punished for the grave sin of Gaava, arrogance and hubris. Ultimately, there is a comfort even in the destruction, because while Israel will be beaten down, there will always be a remnant of that will be saved in order to rebuild. And in closing, I would just say that there's an interesting point that Rabbeinu Lau underscores that feels very true with Yeshayahu, that there's a certain universalism of Yeshayahu's nevuot. And all the nations, including Israel, are held accountable for their actions and their arrogance. But ultimately, the true goal is to bring everybody back to Hashem. And while Am Yisrael will always have their special relationship as being the Am Segula, a treasured nation, yet, in an ideal sense, through this process, all nations will come back to recognize Hashem. And that's a very strong point that comes back from Yeshayahu's Nevuot, that there is this universal dimension that we're hoping for. We're hoping for all nations of the world to come back and see Hashem. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilo Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.